Let's talk a little football with our good friend Mike Hogan out of TSN in Toronto. Mikey, how are you?
How you doing? You know what's really weird?
Yeah.
The last time you had me on the show, you were broadcasting from a bar.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody,
and here
we do.
It is.
Every Wednesday.
The next time, you're at the Druid. I mean,
yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I know. Well, that's great.
What are the odds?
I know. It's like your Tin Lincecum. Exactly.
Oh. I get better hair, but.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, the good thing is,
do.
Mike, I do it from the Druid on Wednesdays and on the Rocks on Friday. So twice a week we're at the bar. So 40% chance, pretty good that we're broadcasting there.
Sounds like my personal life.
Exactly. What are the odds of Zach Collaros being as good in Hamilton as he was in Toronto?
I don't know. That's a good question. The offenses are a little bit different. Hamilton was in town last week for a preseason game, and I talked to Zach a little bit about that, and he likes what they're running there. So Kent Austin and Scott Milanovich are both outstanding quarterback coaches as well as being head coaches. So the kids had the opportunity to learn from maybe the two ideal coaches for him in the Canadian Football League. So I don't know if he'll be as successful. He might be better. I don't know. The kid has star potential. That's all I'll say. Whether or not he fulfills that, I hope he does. He's a really, really nice guy, the kind of guy that you cheer for. You know, Toronto's hoping he doesn't do too well, obviously, at least when they play the Argos. But I don't see why he can't be a star player in the Canadian Football League. He's got the arm. He's got the desire. He's competitive as all get out, and he's got the ability to move out of the pocket. So all of the intangibles are there, as well as all of the physical skills. So I don't know why he can't be a star in this league.
Let's stay at quarterback for a second, but move out west. I ask this question of almost all our guests: Calgary Stampeders. Now they've named Bo Levi Mitchell their starter. Some people say, "Oh, it's a great situation. Two really young, good quarterbacks." Other people say, yeah, but is either one of them really established? What's your take on the quarterback situation in Calgary?
I'd rather have two good ones than nobody who can play the position, first of all. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice quality or nice quandary to be in if you're Calgary. I thought they did it the right way. Let them battle it out in camp. You go with one, and then if one falters, you go with the other. Those who are into the history of the league may remember in sort of the late 70s, early 80s, that was almost the norm in the CFL, where you had guys like Joe Barnes and Condridge Holloway in Toronto, Tommy Clement and Condridge Holloway up in Ottawa. You had Barnes and Sonny Wade in Ottawa, where there always seemed to be that go-to guy. You had Warren Moon and Wilkie in mm-hmm. Edmonton. So, I mean, it can work. It's just how the two guys at the position feel about it and how the coaches get them both in. But like I say, I'd rather have two guys who can play than nobody who can. And I'm in a city in Toronto where it seems to be feast or famine. Either they have one of the best quarterbacks in the league or they've got nobody who can play the position. So I'd rather be in Calgary's position than not.
Looking at Toronto, them and Hamilton, they'll be trying to regain the top spot. Montreal, there's a lot of question marks. What's happening there? Obviously, no Anthony Calvillo. They got a new head coach in Tom Higgins. And then, of course, the expansion team. I think it's fair to say that Ottawa is going to bring up the rear in the East. When you see it right now, Mike, Toronto, Hamilton, who do you see as the favorite in the East?
It might take Hamilton a little while to catch up offensively because they do have a new quarterback. That said, it might take the Argos a little bit of time defensively to catch up. I think they're very even. I would say that they're a little bit ahead of Montreal, and I know preseason doesn't really mean much, but boy, did Montreal look awful against Ottawa on the weekend. I mean, just horrible. And they were playing their starters against, as you mentioned, an expansion team in Ottawa. So I don't know what to expect out of the Owls this year. I do think that for once it's Hamilton and Toronto, the sort of the balance of power in the East. And flip a coin, who's healthier? I will take the team with Ricky Ray at quarterback, though. And I know that's an awful thing to say in Edmonton, but I'm pretty confident that he'll have another good year.
Oh, yeah.
You
you think? No. Oh, Ricky.
Yeah.
But it's funny, though. A lot of Eskimo fans actually thought Ricky Ray, it was good to trade him.
Yeah, and better the devil you know, right?
Yeah.
He's not bad.
No, he's not bad. He's okay.
I'm playing a hunch when TSN does its top 50 players, he's going to be in the top, 30 perhaps, maybe, out on a limb.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe top five.
Maybe number one.
Who knows? Mike O'Shea, a guy that was in Toronto for a long time as a player and a coach, he's the new head coach now of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Of course, they open up against Ricky Ray. The Bombers are back in the West, which they probably hate, yeah, just because I think the East with Montreal and Ottawa would be a lot easier for them to make the playoffs. What do we expect out of that Winnipeg team with O'Shea running the helm? Because, Mike, we've seen a lot of defensive coordinators recently and even offensive guys who came with great resumes go to be head coaches and have little success.
Yeah, we've got one back in Toronto now with Tim Burke, who was in Winnipeg a year ago, and Rich Stubler is another one who, you know, had his shot and it didn't work out. I don't know what to expect out of Osh, because as a personality, he is absolute type A football. He is going to be a stickler for detail. As a special teams coordinator, Mike thinks outside the box, and I think as he becomes more comfortable as a head coach, and I know he's sort of at the beck and call of his two coordinators, but at the same time, I think down the road, when they get a little bit more talent, you're going to see a team that will surprise you with, I don't want to say gadget plays, but just thinking outside the box a little bit. Mike is that way as a coach. So I think once they get established here in Winnipeg or able to find out some guys who can play, I think Winnipeg, when they get more talent, could be one of the more entertaining teams in the league just because of the O'Shea factor. Players are going to love to play for him. They always have. They love playing with him as a teammate. They hated playing against him because he was so intense and had that dirty side to him as a player as well. But Mike O'Shea is just one of those guys that has it, that intangible, where guys will follow him as a coach. And I think he's going to be an extremely successful head coach, whether it's in Winnipeg. Who knows how long it lasts here until they get some better talent around for him. But I think Mike O'Shea is going to be a head coach for a long time in the CFL.
Let's touch on the Ottawa Red Blacks for a second. When I look at the Red Blacks, I think they've got a chance to be competitive with Rick Campbell and the group he's put together there, mainly because they have a guy named Henry Burris, not Dan Crowley, throwing the football. It starts there. I don't think they're going to win anything, but when you look at the Red Blacks, what do you see?
I see an entertaining team simply because, as you mentioned, Henry's the quarterback. They're going to be behind a lot. I don't see any reason why he might not lead the league in passing this year as far as yardage goes. They're going to be entertaining. Are they going to be good? I doubt it. They'll be competitive. They'll always have a puncher's chance because they're going to be able to score a lot of points. That said, if they get on a bit of a roll and they've got a head coach in Rick Campbell who knows the league inside and out, they may turn some heads. As you mentioned, the East is a little bit easier to get through than the West. And if Hamilton or Montreal stubs its toe, if the Argonauts stubs its toe, there's an opportunity for them to surprise some people. Would I be surprised with all of that said if they made the playoffs? Yes. Would it surprise me if they are competitive basically every night and sort of within 10 points of every team in the league? Wouldn't surprise me for a second. And I would also be surprised if they don't knock off two or three of the big dogs over the course of the season, just because they are going to get on those find themselves on those nights when they get on a roll and just can't get off it and outscore the other team no matter what they do defensively. I don't think they're going to be very good defensively, but they're going to score some points.
Mike Hogan joins us. Mike, what's your interpretation from the outside of the Eskimos? We assume they'll be better than 4-14 because it's harder to be worse for the most part. But how much better realistically do you think this team is?
I don't know, to be honest. You know, Chris Jones, and there's another good defensive coordinator, obviously, who is going to get his shot. He's got some good people around him. I think every player that I've talked to really likes Mike Riley as a quarterback, and it's just a question of keeping him upright. He's got a ton of skill. If they can do that, and it's the old cliche, football starts on the line, and that's the same thing in Edmonton. If they get good line play, if they can run the football a little bit and take the pressure off him, I think they can put up some points. The problem with the Eskimos is there are three really good teams ahead of them, and it might be difficult to judge just how much better this team is getting over the course of the season, because they're still going to be behind Calgary, they're still going to be behind BC, and we'll see how Saskatchewan did as far as bringing in some new bodies to see if they can repeat again. I don't see them being any better than fourth in the division, and they might be a much better team, but still not improve in the win-loss column, which is tough if you're an Eskimo fan, but that's just how good the other teams in the division are right now.
You know, it's interesting. Obviously, you start at quarterback when you talk about any team in this league. It's got to be a quarterback's league. Everybody likes Riley. Clearly, he's got a future. But when you look at him, considering he spent half his time on his backside last year, can he take a huge step forward as long as they get the ball out quicker and get something done on the O-line?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's up to, you know, the new offensive coaching brain trust out there to devise a way to keep him healthy. And, you know, he's got the physical skills, and as he gets more and more experience in the league, he's going to pick up all the nuances and be able to read that receiver, catch the right guy at the right time. And it's not an easy game to learn. And he's got every attribute you need to be a great quarterback in the league. And I remember being at airports on a couple of different occasions and seeing the highlights on TSN the next morning of an Edmonton game and seeing him get whacked. And on at least two different occasions, I had players who are well-known in the league say, boy, that guy's tough. You know, and he had to be last year. And if they can get the ball out of his hands quicker, devise quicker reads or quicker hits, and just play the game the way it should be played with that in mind, I think he can be a superstar in the league. There's no question he can't be.
Michael, one last one for you. Quickly, I know we're talking a lot of football. There is the I know you cover a lot of the CIS. What'd you make of them cancel? Was it the is it the Ottawa Hockey or their football team?
The Ottawa GG's hockey team.
The hockey
team.
An
incident in Thunder Bay up at Lakehead University last year where members of the hockey team have been found guilty of sexual I don't know if it was sexual assault, certainly sexual misconduct and alcohol violations with the team, and they just pulled the plug on it today for a year. The school did that. I guess it's reminiscent of what happened with the Waterloo Warriors football program 4 years ago, I believe, when they pulled the plug on the program because of some guys with steroids. And it was the school doing it. It was the program doing it. And, you know, that is probably a good thing for the CIS because they don't have to be the heavies in this case. It was the school itself. It's the right thing to do. I think sometimes we look at what happens south of the border, and we get lost in the glamour of everything that happens, whether it be in the Final Four or in bowl season and then in the NC2A. These are student athletes. And if these guys, if these kids can't grasp that, you know, they're not 14, they're not 15, they're young adults. There are rules. If you don't abide by the rules, there are going to be consequences. I feel sorry for the athletic director and the kids on the team specifically who weren't involved in this, but this was obviously widespread enough where they had to you know, get rid of this program for a year. I hate to see it because I love the CIS brand, but I think absolutely the University of Ottawa did the right thing here.
That's a tough decision, smart one. I'm curious to see if they get the program back because taking a year off is always tough.
It is, and it sets them back because, you know, it's not just the year, it's not just this year. You know, if you're the hockey coach, whoever the new hockey coach is going to be because that guy got blown out, he's got to start his own recruiting cycle. And, you know, will kids transfer this year because they'll have the opportunity to do so as this is a redshirt season? So they'll probably lose some players. I hope the players who are found not guilty get the opportunity, like the football players did at Waterloo, to move to another program and play if their heart is intent on playing hockey and, you know, really having that student-athlete experience. But it's a sad day when this has to happen, but you know, you've got to protect the image of the university, and my God, that was a dumb thing that they did, a criminal thing, perhaps, that they did up in Thunder Bay.
You betcha. Mike, enjoy the kickoff tomorrow.
Jason, Robin, will do. Thanks for having me on.